Crouch. Bind. Set.
Joe presents The House of Rugby, powered by Vodafone.
Shawnee, mate, I missed you. How was your holiday?
Holiday was brilliant, Goody. Thanks a million. Got home, seen the family, had a couple of beautiful pints of Guinness, and it was great. Got out with the dogs on the farm and seen family and friends, and just shot the breeze when I was home. But it went pretty quickly. I was busy enough back there. What about you? What have you been up to?
Well, voice has come back after last week, sobered up, which is nice. But it's test week here on House of Rugby, powered by Vodafone. So what have we got in store?
Well, what we have in store is we have a very special guest. I was going to say little man, little Scottish man, but he's not that little. We have Greg Laidlaw. Welcome.
Thank you very much, boys. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for your very kind intro there, Shawnee. Not too harsh on the little.
What have you been up to, pal?
Mate, I've been home for nearly 2 months now from Japan. As you'll know, Goody, or 3 months off, or certainly me between seasons, I'm heading back out to Japan. Mate, so similar to Shawnee, really, I've been seeing the family. I've obviously not seen it in Japan. I've managed to squeeze in quite a bit of golf, which is lovely, and I've got another little game lined up tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to.
Nice. And how long is your pre-season going to be in Japan?
Yeah, I'm looking at about 4.5 months. I think, mate, is what's looking likely.
I wouldn't want to even guess how much running that is, to be honest.
Yeah, mate, I'm more worried about the heat. I think when I first get back for the first couple of months, it's going to be messy. But we've got, I think Rob Penny is coming in this year as coach, so I'm hoping he's more sort of Kiwi and a little bit more relaxed.
Why do they do 4.5 months of pre-season in Japan? Does anyone know? Like, I thought they're up to date, like, with the latest technology, latest training methods, everything like that.
All I can say is that my old club have been in pre-season now for I think 6 weeks. So on top of the probably 5 months of that, they
are
just
only home 6 weeks.
I mean, it's mad, it's mad. But they just more is better, I guess. Yeah, just want to run you into the ground.
Yeah, I think the seasons are so short, and obviously they're paying players all year round, so that you probably want to see them and see them on the ground there, I guess, is one way to look at it. And I think one of the reasons I went to NTT was, they wanted sort of me there for a large amount of the time in the presence with the Japanese players. So I guess it's part of the job. So, I'm looking forward to getting back out to Japan when the time comes and, getting stuck back into training, I guess.
Well, it's been a busy week with the Lions this week. That's why we got you here, to talk some sense, unlike Shawnee. But big news with Alan Wynn. What are the thoughts there? How do you think he went in that 27 minutes, was it, against Stormers?
Yeah, it's a strange one for me, because I genuinely didn't think, looking at the game last night, he was himself. And I suppose when you're after, to be fair, like, if you're dislocating your shoulder less than 3 weeks ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're probably in the back of your head, you're going, is this going to pop again here? Is this going to go? But to be perfectly honest, I just didn't think he was as comfortable in the contact area last night, as in throwing himself in with that left side. But maybe he's just feeling his way back in, as you do with a shoulder injury. Like, it's difficult. Even when you do 6 or 7 months of rehab on a shoulder and you come back in, you're like, give me the first couple here. But
yeah, obviously you watched him pretty closely last night, you were saying, Shawnee, and I think, and probably you touched on it as well, we did that, the physical encounter that's coming in the sort of test series, and if he's selected, which he probably will be, otherwise he's probably not going to be back in South Africa.
Would you select him though for his leadership and how you saw him play for 27 minutes? Because bearing in mind, he had, was it 4 weeks off before the Lions tour, not playing a month or so, and then he played 20, well, however long it was against Japan, and then he's had another 4 weeks. So it's a big call.
It is a big call. Gats is somebody that he's not scared of making big calls, and he's obviously got a strong relationship with Alan Wynn. Will they select him? I think they will. I'm not so sure if I was coach, I'd select him in the first test. I think I'd look for a little bit further down the track, give him another week and look to bring him in that second test. But I don't know what you think on that.
Yeah, I kind of just think with the second rowers that are playing so well, are you going to risk him? But, as Gats has said, he's at that stage in his career now. There's nothing really, This is the be-all and end-all for Alan Wynn. So does it matter if he goes out in the first test and does his shoulder? No, because does it matter if he does it in the second test? No, as well, because it's just a roll of the dice for him in every game, I think, at the minute. I think he'll start. I think he'll start him with a touch, to be honest. I think that's why he's back in yesterday. If they were going to wait another week, just you could simulate 27 minutes in a training session for him, you know, with bodies on the lads who won't be selected maybe next week. So I think that's why he played last night. I think he's going to start, definitely.
Would you give him the captaincy?
Yeah, I think he'll be the captain as well.
I think you might as well, because I think in certainly my experience from 2017, and Sean will probably be the same, it's like it doesn't really matter like too much in my opinion, like, because the boys that are, they're all good players, have all had, you know, that sort of big game experience, a lot of test matches, and there is a lot of experience around. So I think he was named a captain originally. I think it just takes away any sort of awkwardness around it. Give him back the captaincy if he's going to be selected, you know, why wouldn't you?
And you've come back, Shawnee, from injury before, shoulder, big injuries. What's it, that first game, you know, in go straight into a test match against the most physical nation. What, you know, give us an insight into what that would be like.
To be honest with you, it's a funny one, because you have a shoulder dislocation is like, it's probably 16 weeks at least, usually. You know what I mean? A full one, if you have a reconstruction. Obviously, he didn't have any surgery in, but he's... You know what I mean? It will be in the back of his head, but you tick all those boxes off in training sessions. You tick all those boxes off with strength targets, etc. And can you do that in 3 weeks? Well, he's obviously, you know what I mean? He's turned it around. He's done it before, because the same injury has happened now, happened him 2 years ago, and he's gotten away with it for 2 years. So, you know, in the back of my head, I was kind of looking at him last night, and I was looking at him closely last night, and he was feeling his way into those contact areas. But that's different when you go into a test game against the world champions next week, who know that he's dislocated his shoulder a couple of weeks ago. Do you think those boys aren't going to be absolutely pumping him when they get a chance to put a shot on him? And yeah, it's going to be difficult. But knowing Alan Wynne, he loved the idea of that too. As well, and he'll relish in it a little bit. But if he comes through this series, he's superhuman.
I was about to say, it's some comeback, regardless of whether he plays or not. It's an unbelievable comeback, to be fair. And I think the Lions would love to have him out there if he's close to his best. And he's going to throw everything into it, isn't he? Because it's going to be his last Lions test. But it probably brings into context a bit more the bench position then for the second row, knowing that he probably won't be able to play a full game. And who's impressed you there? Is it Henderson nailed on, or has Adam Beard come up the outside?
Yeah, there's a lot of options. I think everybody's playing fairly well in their positions, and you know, we've not even mentioned Courtney Laws at the moment, and I'm a big Courtney Laws fan in terms of what he brings. And you know, it's interesting, Gats has obviously spoken about the physicality, the playing of nine element, and if you're looking for somebody to combat that, or you know, carry as well, you know, there's a man in himself that can do that, and he obviously covers that six position. Will he start at six? You know, that gives you a line of option as well. But the back row's you know, so stacked at the minute, there's all sorts of options. But for me, it's probably between Ian Henderson, you know, Courtney Laws, because Hendy's a good player as well.
Yeah, I think it'll be Alan Wynne and Marrow, obviously. And then I can't see him looking beyond Hendy at the minute, the way he's been playing as well, and leading. And he's a line-out caller for them. So that's going to be a big thing to have on the bench as well.
But you could bring, as you said, Courtney, maybe even if you did an extra forward on the bench, you could have Courtney there.
You could, yeah.
Change the single goal 6-2.
Yeah, well, see, he might go that way as well if he starts Alan Wynne.
If you've got someone like Elliot Daly on the bench or someone around that who's that versatile. Yeah,
well, he can't play a second row, can he?
No.
But, he can, mate.
Chuck him in there and see, eh?
I think because you have got the way the backs have been playing as well, in terms of if it's you know, Liam Williams, Elliot Daly, if they're already on the field, they're quite versatile in where they can play. So that may loosen up the 6-2 split, and they might go that. Again, looking at that physicality aspect of the game, that they might try and cover with a 6-2 again if they start Alan Wynne.
And Adam Beard has just, you know, excelled himself since he's been out there. He hasn't put a foot wrong. And I know there was a lot of chat. We even chatted about it, of, you know, the selection initially.
No, you did, mate. You did.
I was surprised, like a lot of other people. But, it, like, at the end of the day, he's an international player. Mm. he's a big lump of a man, and he is like, he's been superb since he's been out there, regardless of like who they're playing, etc. But he's been brilliant. So he's obviously put his hand up now as well to be in the frame of, you know, selection for next weekend, which is it's great for the Lions. So I wouldn't like to be Gats this week picking the team, and the back row, as we've discussed, is
we'll get onto the selection a bit more, but let's just go through the two games. Obviously, South Africa A first up is a pretty stern test for the Lions, and I guess, do we learn more from defeat than victory? What do you think, Greg?
I think in this scenario, yes, because very much the way South Africa A played, you know, that's pretty much a carbon copy of what they're going to be facing coming out of the test. Obviously, Razi Erasmus and probably the whole South African coaching team were behind that performance. And to be honest, the midweek teams have been, you know, fairly weak. And in all honesty, they're a bit behind the eight ball in terms of the performance and what the Lions are going to face. So, yeah, very much that the South African A is what they're going to face in terms of probably the more structured, mauling, kick chase, defensive type of game. And yeah, so the Lions, in my opinion, really need to try and move away from that sort of same type game plan as South Africa. They need to try and break the game up, get some speed into the play, and I think that's when the Lions have really looked their best, is when the forwards have carried hard, created quick ball, and off the back of that, the Lions have been starting to open up a little bit.
Yeah, I think that A game obviously is the one to look at, like, in the carbon copy, as Greg said, of what's coming. The one thing I'd be afraid of is the way they got bullied in the first half of the game, and I think it'll be worse come the test game. I think there's going to be a lot of like latching on, tight playoff nine. South Africans just trying to bully you first and foremost, and see how the Lions react to it. I'd like to see the Lions coming off the line a little bit harder in D, you know what I mean, and go and meet them rather than, because they're big boys.
I think for me, the game line's everything against Africa, and I felt too many times the Lions, there was a one-man tackle, even, you know, a good tackler, a Curry, someone just going low, but there's two latches and they're just winning that game line. We need to see more bodies. You know, we know what South Africa are going to bring around the corner. They're there, they're set, they're not tipping, they're not trying to throw inside balls. They catch the ball, they get someone on them, and they drive them through. And I'd like to see the Lions get two men, maybe three men in the tackle and meet them and just knock them back and just stop Faf de Klerk getting so much time, because, you know, he had so much time to put little kicks in, long kicks, dictate the play. Mornay Steyn had so much time. And I think that would be my worry, is that obviously the Lions knew South Africa were going to come with that game plan. You know, it was pretty obvious. You know, they always do. They haven't had much time to prep, so they're going to come with a physical game plan. But it was as if, you know, the old classic, you know, everyone's got a plan. They get hit in the face. The Lions had a plan, and they were stunned by it. And as you said, I think that's the bit they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, they are, because as the biggest men in world rugby, you know, whether it's Eben Etzebeth, you know, Steph Detoy, these guys, you know they're coming, but you have to be able to stop them and sort of combat that. And the other area they're going to have to clean up as well for the Lions is that really that sort of taking high kicks as well. That was a big sort of battle in that A game, and South Africa probably won that. And that's one of the areas that South Africa try and get the edge. So you're going to have to try and take that away and sort of win the aerial battle. If you can win the aerial battle, start taking the kicks, then the Lions can really try and sort of speed up the play, or they can kick on their own terms, because you don't want to just kick when it slows down and then it just becomes that sort of real sort of turgid match then.
Yeah, I thought as well the Lions kicked loosely at times, obviously, and looking back at the game afterwards, South Africa were putting three in the backfield at times and we're still kicking to them, where we should have been having a crack then. So I think the Lions will obviously learn a lot, I think, from reviewing that game. South Africa learn a lot as well about the Lions, get them on the edge. I thought we're a little bit vulnerable on the edge, and when they start to move the ball, and obviously kicking the ball to these boys like Colby and stuff is not a good idea, as we've seen. So I think both teams will take a lot from it, but first and foremost, in my head anyway, is we have to go and meet them, like you said, Goody, and physically impose ourselves early doors, not let them get front football. Go and meet them in twos and threes and put them on their arses, because it's going to be a long day at the office if the Lions can't win collisions. And that'll be dictated by the team he picks.
And I think just on that as well, the only other thing is, you mentioned the kicking game. I think the Lions were pretty slow at getting back around the breakdown. It's been a consistent theme in that game and a bit in the Stormers game. they were allowing bodies to hit the ground, and the South Africans were getting over, and there wasn't a man, the Lions player wasn't there quick enough. So it'd be something they'd definitely work on, that urgency, but especially when South Africa box kick, that first hit, they were there first, and the forwards or the first man wasn't getting there quick enough and getting blown off the park. So that's something they're going to have to fix up quick as well.
Yeah, you're going to have to clean that up, Goody, that definitely, because when you do play a team like South Africa, it's such a big strength of theirs, and if you can sort of negate that a little bit and turn it into, you know, something you can deal with, then it can be a big swing in the game. And again, coming back to learnings and stuff from the game, the Lions can learn that. They can learn what Shawnee mentioned as well about not kicking loosely to Colby. Probably already knew that, but, you know, just to highlight it, when they did kick long to him in space, you cannot give that man time and space. He's just deadly. He is the best player in the world when it comes to, you know, beating defenders.
And on to the Stormers game, who impressed you in that one?
Last night, Ali Price was good again. I thought he had a really good game. Luke Cowan-Dickey, I thought was awesome as well. I thought he really stood out as well.
Just on Ali Price, obviously you know him well. What does he bring that perhaps the other nines don't necessarily?
I think what's probably really helping Ali and probably also the other Scottish boys is their connection with Gregor. You know, we've probably not had a Scottish coach in that Lions group now for I think probably since 97, I think. Yeah. So I think that's really helping. What is he good at? He's good at playing with speed, and I think he's obviously worked with Gregor at Glasgow and in Scotland, so he's got that consistency. He knows what Gregor likes from the attack. But I think, you know, it helps when, you know, when the forwards are playing well and giving them quick ball, and they're really sort of stepped up after the first 25 minutes of the game yesterday, which was, you know, struggled a little bit. Got real tempo into the game, and that's when he can look to break. He was a threat around the fringes. He's kicked really well as well in terms of that kicking game. So I think he's been really good so far on tour.
Yeah, I think Cowan-Dickey was probably the standout for me. I thought Ali Price was good. I thought Marcus Smith was very controlled for someone in his kind of first Lions cap.
Tyke
Byrne was good again. Adam Beard was good, and Tyke Furlong, obviously, that we just know what he brings now. I thought he showed up a lot last night. And then someone who we haven't spoke that much about actually is Jack Conan. I don't think, if I was being honest, I think Toby is not at his best just yet, but he will show up on the big day. Everyone knows that, but Jack surely has his in the mixer now of that selection for eight. There was a lot of good performances again last night. A lot of good performances, but I thought
it was great to see Robbie Henshaw out there again.
Yeah,
I think he's pretty,
so solid.
I think he's so key for the Lions. And for me, it was a cagey, probably perhaps a poor first 30, 25 minutes. The Lions all trying a bit too hard, and just once they got into the rhythm of it, they were brilliant. But Henshaw was just so good defensively. His work rate, like, he's such a key member for the Lions for me.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. I think that the Lions will be pretty happy. He's came through that game probably unscathed by the looks of it. I think he's a piece of the puzzle. I think that the Lions will be really happy that it's sort of fitting into place now. He was really unlucky in that in 2017, picked up injury and was playing well. But he's an excellent defender, excellent attacker, and just all round, you know, good player. I think he's only one of the few who can probably say he's going to start in the first test,
yeah,
I would imagine.
Definitely, and I think Gregor said during the week as well, which is a big confidence boost, I said to Robbie, is about his all-round game. So he said he's so important to, obviously his defensive capabilities are brilliant, but his attack, I think, his kicking game now in attack, his hands, from playing with him, I know what he's able to do, but I think he's brought himself to another level the last year or so, and you know, he's one of the most important people in that touring squad now, I think, going forward in these test games.
I think I've seen him grow over the last 18 months a lot in terms of it's just, you know, when he first came in, perhaps under Joe Smith, it was very much just run hard, you know, look after the ball, get it back.
That's what he was told to do.
Yeah. No.
He was told, run hard, don't offload, don't do anything, just do what I tell you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't in that camp, but, you know, and now we're seeing him, as you said, the little kicking game, he's getting up for high balls, the short offloading, he's using his footwork more in contact, and he's devastating. So he really is the key member in the back line for me.
Yeah, he's going to be a key, and I think, you know, we've got so many good players out wide. Lines Goody, I think he's somebody that can almost get the ball in to them in that sort of against that blitz defence as well, whether it be through his little kicking game or through his, you know, offloading or his sort of the way he thinks about the game. I think he's really important to the way the Lions are going to, you know, hopefully have a successful successful series.
So Ronan O'Gara said in the week, he said, never in the history of the Lions tour have positions 1 week out from the first test been so open. I mean, we've been speaking about selection here and how difficult it will be to be Gatland. Where do we even start? Perhaps if I ask you to name five guaranteed starters, Sean and Greg.
Oh my God!
Just start there, shall we?
Yeah, I think it's going to be incredibly difficult. If I was to go five starters, I'd go Robbie Henshaw, I'd go Dan Bigger, I'd go Maro Toje, Tig Furlong. That's four.
Yeah, that's
cool. And I would go Josh Adams.
It's five. There we are.
Yeah.
I feel like to I know Josh Adams has been unbelievable, but to nail on a winger right now, that I don't know where they're going to go. To be honest.
He's starting. He's starting okay. All day.
Well, he's starting.
I can't believe you didn't say Conor Murray.
I think Ali's forced himself enough in the picture that it's probably not certain. And I think, coming back to Alan Wynne, the fact that Alan Wynne's back, you know, does that change the precedent? Do you need to start Conor Murray if he wasn't there? Because they've named him captain, he's probably going to start. But Ali's been good. Huh? Conor played well against, I think it was the Lions, the second time around when he came off the bench, you know, picking up the tempo. And he's obviously an excellent player. You know, let's not forget about that. So who knows where they're going to go with the nine, but just everything just, you know, comes into the melting pot, I guess.
And you still got to name your five.
I'll agree with the first four, yeah. Gone in indefinitely. I think I'm with you, Giddy, on the wingers. I think, you know, Adams has been excellent so far, and he can sniff out a try, but a lot of his tries have, you know, he's just been finishing them off. Last night he probably wasn't great, but it is a hard game to play because you're thinking, you know, I don't really want to play in this game because I don't want to get injured before the test. So who would be my fifth that Sean anyone mentioned?
Back rower
nailed on to start. Well, I think Tom Curry, mate. I think we'll start Tom Curry.
Well, let's talk about the back row. And who would you pick, Sean, as your back row?
On current form.
Who would you pick right now? Gatland will pick.
So I pick right now, I would pick Hamish at seven, okay. Tom Curry at eight, and Ty Byrne at six.
Okay.
That's who I pick right now, looking at him. But I think.
So why would you go with that combination?
I'd pick Jack Conan at eight or I'd put him on the bench at least anyway, and then you could move Curry or Hamish around a little bit.
But give us a flavour of why you'd go Hamish and put Curry at eight, which
because
is an actual position.
They're just in form. You're talking about meeting people on gain lines and stuff. Hamish has been brilliant, I think, in every game he's played. He's really stood up, he's carrying well, he's making a lot of tackles, he's not missing any. Curry's the same, he's been with the ball in his hand as well, he's been, you know, making good yards. We know about his defensive capabilities. And then Ty Byrne for me has been like just a menace. Even last night, like holding lads up, slowing ball up while he's just in the tackle for three, four, five, making them 3-4-5 second rooks. That's what we need. And just currently, they're the three in-form back rowers for me. And Jack Conan, I think.
So now Toby Faletau,
well,
Toby Laws.
No, but like Toby's not been on fire yet. And the other boys are. So where, like, do you take the boys that are in your best form right now, or do you pick someone who you know that can play well on a big day, which is Toby, no doubt about it. He's an unbelievable player. But just for me at the minute, those three boys are alive and kicking, like, and they're there. And you need that going into these big test games. But, you know, it won't be everyone's selection, obviously. Right now, that's who I'd pick.
Yeah, I think I'd... For me, I would have Curry at seven. I think he's said the number one for me is a defensive and attacking seven. I think just on previous end, because he's got that sort of ability to play in the wider channel, and wider eights are all there, and so Toby Faletau be eight. But I might go left field and go Courtney Laws at six. You planted the seed in my sort of mind there, and I think just in terms of the physicality early on, and I bring Tag Byrne on probably 50 minutes and let him run around.
Yeah, but you're talking about physicality early on, like, so in the games that he's played in, how much more physical has he been than the other boys?
Well, it's not that. It's just, I think, when it comes to, if you look at Tagburn, his best attributes are his getting over the ball, his line out, and he's good in the wide channel. But you don't see him as a dominant hitter, do you, necessarily? Courtney is known for his hits. He's known for, he wants to carry and he wants to hit. Whether you say he's mobile enough to be a six compared to Tagburn,
no.
I don't know. Yeah. Probably not. But if you look at who you're playing against, you know, in terms of meeting far early doors.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I think
it's a discussion.
Yeah, it is.
It's a discussion.
It's the back row, and there's so many slight different combinations. And I think I'm with you, Shawnee. I think for me, Hamish Watson's done enough to be selected in the test. I think you almost have to pick him. I'd pick Hamish at seven because I think he's been excellent. He's aggressive. He's, again, talking about the ball carrying and stuff. He brings you a bit of a different dimension in attack. I think I'd pick Tom Curry as well. You know, whether he's wearing six or eight, I don't know. And, you know, I might pick Curry at six. I know it takes a bit of a line out option. And then I think for me, like, you know, Jack Conan, I think he's just a little bit more subtle in that eight slot, or a Sam Simmons. You know, I'm a Simmons fan, you know, I really like him. I think he's aggressive, and I think he's similar to like Kevin Dickey, obviously both coming out of Exeter. I think, you know, both of them guys have stood up real well for me. And I just think, knowing sort of Gregor and the way he'll like to try and attack, I think that type of sort of combination or really try and suit and try and break up the game, in my opinion, what you need to do against South Africa.
Mm. Oh, we could go through a number of other positions in terms of the back three or the centres, but Shawnee, give us your Lions pack, give us your Lions back line, and we'll just put a few suggestions into your forwards.
Pack, including subs.
We'll do subs afterwards.
Okay, so pack for me is Wynn Jones, Jamie George, and Tyke Furlong, Marrow and Alan Wynn. I'm going with Tyke Byrne, Curry and Watson. That's
so we'll leave it there. So you would not, you'd have Macca on the bench, and you wouldn't start Karen Dickey or Ken Owens, because see, Ken Owens probably pre-tour was probably favourite.
Yeah, I think Jamie's played pretty well, and he's been hot now the last any chance he's got. And
you did tell me you've been texting this week. So that does.
I have not been texting. I think the bench is going to be massively important. You see, so that's why I'd start with Wynn Jones. I'd have Macko. I think the bench is going to be huge. So Macko's going to be on the bench. You're going to have. Ken will probably start, to be fair. I think Gats will pick Ken. Me, I'd probably go with Jamie at the minute, but Ken is probably going to start. Then who do you pick then between? Cowan Dickey's show last night was ridiculous. His tackling, his general work
rate. If Cowan Dickey doesn't start, for me, he has to come off the bench.
Yeah.
Because, as you say, Sean, the bench is going to be a huge aspect.
I think that's where it's so difficult for Jamie and Ken Owens, both brilliant players, and obviously trying not to be biased, obviously played with Jamie so many years, I think he's outstanding. But I worry for him is if you go with Ken to start, you're probably going to bring Karen Dickey off the bench.
Yeah,
if you
who's go with going Jamie to bring to start, impact, yeah.
You're probably going to bring Karen Dickey off the bench. Because how he's so explosive, he's going over the ball, he's just a wrecking ball, he wanna just fly in everywhere.
Yeah, we're naming out names here, but it could be literally anyone. which is the problem at the minute. There's no one really like there's the five boys who we spoke about who are kind of set in stone. Everyone else, it's fair game, like, which is incredibly difficult.
Okay, so do your forwards bench now. You wouldn't do 6-2?
No.
Okay, 5-3. So who are your five three. Forwards?
So I'd go Macko, Cowan Dickey.
Change your mind.
I changed my mind.
I'm confused.
Sinclair. I'd go Ian Henderson. And Toby.
Okay. Back line.
Back line. I think you've got to pick Ali at nine. I think he's been good enough to get in there. I think he's coming back to players that are on form, and I think he's been good. So, you know, get him in there, pick players on form, and Gats won't be, he's not scared to do that in the past, so whether he does it this time, but that's my selection. I think Dan Bigger. He's probably going to play 10. I think he's been good, and he's in form probably 10 at the moment. I think I'd go with the access that played yesterday. I think I'd go Henshaw at 12, and I think Elliot Daly at 13. I think they've obviously given Elliot a lot of minutes in that slot, and I think he's sort of starting to settle into the role. Back three, here we go. It's the back three, it's tough. I'm going to go Liam Williams on a wing, Anthony Watson on another wing, and Hoggy at the back.
So you have a different theory on the back line, who you'd go with in the centres?
Yeah, I think it'll be Bundy and Robbie. I think the way the two of them played together in that Japan game, defensively and in attack, but I think first and foremost, we speak about physicality, we speak about the directness of what's coming. Obviously, if you have Robbie at 12 and Elliot at 13, you still have that 12 seam sewn up with a good defensive player. But for me, I just think Elliot's missed a few too many tackles in that 13 slot at the minute. Probably not as comfortable as Robbie would be there, or even Chris Harris, obviously. But I think just for the first test, we need to meet fire with fire. And sure, you have your most physical defender at 12 in Bundy, or one of them. So I think it's going to be Bundy and Robbie in the centres.
Without sounding too negative, I think I would, like I'm just trying to defend against South Africa, I think I would have Conor Murray at 9. I'd bring someone like Ali Price on later on to up the tempo.
Yeah.
I just think early on with this kicking game, is defensive work, Conor Murray for me at 9. And in the back three, early on, against the Stormers, I thought Hogg tried to force it and then came into his own when he just played his own game a bit more later on and was brilliant. But I've said it all this tour, I feel like I want to have Liam Williams there in the backfield for the aerial contest, and so I would go him, Anthony, I'd go Anthony Watts on the wing, I'd go Liam Williams at fullback. And until last night, I was going Josh Adams on the other wing. But I still think, he's had a baby this week. It's the week before a test match. I'd still have Josh Adams on the wing, and that'd be my back three. But I'd say Stuart Hogg is the unluckiest man there, because he's a brilliant, brilliant player. And you do miss something in attack.
Yeah, and brilliant players are going to miss out, either way. And thankfully for us, we're not selecting the test. But I think, Hoggy's, the way the tours went so far for Hoggy, he's probably under pressure at the moment because he's the close contact or whatever, and he's sort of been in hiding for a week. So, once he got into his rhythm last night, I thought he was good. And he was good, obviously, the first couple of games he was involved in. But certainly on the 9 selection, do I think they'll pick Ali? Probably not. I think they'll maybe go with Conor Murray, and certainly Gads, from what he knows, Conor's an excellent player, of course he is, and he was awesome in 2017. He's got that big game experience, so they may look towards there. I just think purely on form, I think Ali's been certainly playing the better 9, but yeah, Liam Williams has to be in the team. I definitely agree with that. I think he's an awesome player under high balls and what have you. So.
And who's going to be on the bench then? In the back? So obviously if Faz...
Well, I'd have Ali Price... I'd had Faz, and then
you'd probably have someone like Elliot Daly if it's
Rob, I think Elliot Daly he offers to cover some positions, bring on late, you get a long penalty, obviously.
It depends, gives
him that tiny bit, or you go brave and you go ballsy, you go Faz and Hogg, and Hogg just to come on and show that X factor.
Yeah, I think there's all sort of endless opportunities and sort of scenarios for the bench. But
it's way easier in 2017 pick the team.
Do you chuck Marcus Smith in? Because, again, coming back to my point what I made earlier in terms of, you've got to break the game up. Like, for me, it was like made for somebody like a Finn, obviously, if he was fit, but he's probably struggling with injury. Marcus Smith, I know he's young and stuff, but he can come on, he can break the game up in that key slot. And but I guess if you've got Farrell there, he can cover that 10 slot as well.
I think Marcus Smith is unbelievable. But to ask him, he had, a couple of days training, if that, before the game at Stormers. And the first half, he was getting to grips with it. To ask him to go into a test match and say, Bigger goes down or someone goes down in the first 5 minutes to come on, is a big ask, with South Africans coming for him. So I feel like he needs a bit more time for me.
Yeah.
As much as he was outstanding.
A couple of more gym sessions.
Well, not that. But I mean, just, you know, it's so difficult for us to make a decision, let alone Gatland. But now, during the course of the series, subscribers to the official British and Irish Lions app powered by Vodafone can get over and vote for the player of the series, and also who they think will be their starting 15 in the Lions Selector app. So get over there and have a look at that. At the moment, Josh Adams is first in the voting, and then Hamish Watson, Doohan van der Merwe, Lewis Rees-Sammet and Chris Harris. So have a vote there. And as we can see, we can't make a decision on the selection.
No,
so what chance do they have?
It's funny, actually, that you mentioned, like, he mentioned those boys that the fans have voted for. Like, van der Merwe has been outstanding.
Mm.
Can't be stopped at the minute.
Yeah.
Like, will he? Is Gats just going to go, do you know what? You're too big, you're too strong, that's a message he'll be driving all week. We're too big, we're too strong as well. He'll be saying that to the Lions boys, even though South Africans are the biggest in the world. But is he going to be a late bolter? You're leaving Lewis Rees-Sammet out of the squad altogether as a finisher. You're bringing, I'm backing Josh Adams because of what Gats has said earlier on in the tour about him and his finishing ability. But like, there's such strong competition all throughout the squad, and it's going to be incredibly interesting to see who comes out on top.
It is going to be interesting. I think, you know, I was just, when you mentioned Doohan there, it's like we never even mentioned him in our discussions, but he could well start a test. There's no doubt in that. I think he's been really good and going forward and defensively as well.
Well, I guess good luck, Gats. But right now, head over to the official British and Irish Lions app powered by Vodafone to pick your player of the series and also to pick your Lions starting 15 on the Lions Selector. All on the official British and Irish Lions app powered by Vodafone. Well, we could talk about the Lions all day long, and we still will. But Greg, you're here. Give us some tales about Shawnee from 2017, because everyone's got tales.
You always ask for stories.
Well,
about
it's
reason.
Because there always is one.
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah. Tales from 2017, probably not too many, Shawnee. Certainly,
you can say, obviously. Yeah, but, nice.
Oh, no, it was a great trip in 2017, I think. Probably the way it worked out, I was in the midweek team by then, and we were probably operating off different schedules by then. So certainly the midweek boys had a good crack at it a couple of times, definitely down in Wellington for once. But yeah, it was a heck of a tour in 2017.
Oh, it was nice.
And certainly one to remember.
Yeah, it was the people in New Zealand were brilliant, I think, with everybody. The boys now, in fairness, there was a lot of envy when you'd wake up on a Thursday morning. they'd be out after playing the game, and a bit of crack and a few stories coming back, and you'd be thinking to yourself, Jesus, will I try and get in the midweek team?
But I think that's what was probably good about the Lions doing that, obviously, in a sort of professional era. It was kind of still encouraged to get out and have a bit of crack. And I can't remember when, I think it must have been after the last test, but I remember like walking into the team room at one point, and I'm pretty sure Jack Noel was lying sleeping in a bed right in the middle of the team room. I don't know where this bed had came from, and I think he was in his full gear well. So just mad times, you know, certainly, you know, such a good crack off the field as well.
But yeah.
It definitely was a good crack off.
And that's why there's always a story of Shawnee. We've heard about him singing, you know, late night, taking his clothes off. So there's plenty to go around. But just what does it mean, though, for you, like, being involved in the Lions, you know, to get that call up? Do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember it. I think, you know, Gats gave me a call up. I was called in slightly later and the rest of the boys. But I think it's just... it's so unique, isn't it? And I think everybody sort of, certainly I dreamt of it when I was growing up and wanted to play for the Lions, and to sort of realise you're one step closer and to receive that call is, you know, it's straight away you're excited, nervous, all that sort of emotion coming through. But the way we travelled out to New Zealand, it was so like rushed, and I think we were only in New Zealand 2 or 3 days before we played the first game. It was mental. And I always remember just after, it was even after the warm-up, probably still hadn't sunk in that I was there and ready to go, and always remember just, you know, my jersey ready to go and right in front of me hanging on the peg, and just that realisation, you know, I'm about to play for the Lions and be part of it. So yeah, incredible experience. You know, I loved every minute in terms of, you know, just what it's all about. And I just think the history of the Lions, the players that have went before you, I think that's what really makes it all work.
And is there anyone who you played against who you really disliked? And then, because everyone always wants to know, like, did you make friends with anyone particularly on the tour who you thought was an absolute dick beforehand? Yeah.
Hopefully you didn't think I was like that.
That's awkward.
I was always very friendly to you when we played against each other.
I was very friendly.
Yeah, Shorty was actually always all right, to be fair. Who was...
Well, anyone you keep in touch with still from there?
Jamie George, I'd message or whatever. I got on pretty well with Jinx. He's a good guy. I think Courtney Laws is somebody probably I didn't think I'd get on with, but you're going well with Courtney. He's a good guy. He loves a game of table tennis. I don't know if he's beat me yet, but
was he king of the table?
He was king of the table.
I don't know quite there.
We Scotsman that's nipping around.
Him and Faz was pretty good too.
Faz was good.
Faz won't like losing though, so it would have been tough.
A bit like me, mate. I can't remember who played Faz, but Courtney Laws is a good guy. But I think, to be fair, on 2017 we had a great group, didn't we? Really, and everybody kind of got on and got stuck in, and you know, Robbie Henshaw with his brilliant start to singing songs and stuff like that was just funny things you remember.
Yeah, he always started with his fingers. One, two.
Before he saw, he was counting out.
Counting.
Counting his head. He was like, three.
Actually, thinking of table tennis, actually, I'm not sure if it was you, but it could have been Faz. Like a 10-0, if you get a 10-0, it's a naked run around the table tennis.
any excuse for you? You just turn up with no bat and oh no, I've lost 10-0. Sorry, lads.
No, but I remember getting to like 8 or 9-0 and I was like, oh my God, because the team room could be full of anybody, like could be physios, everyone there. I rattled the backhand back to him.
Disbelief, was it?
Pure relief. But there was some squeaky bum times for a lot of lads with some of the real good table tennis players, because you don't want to be doing a naked lap in the team room.
Of course not. No. a lot of eyes, a lot of camera phones.
Yeah.
Never going to go down
exactly,
well.
Exactly.
And for you, obviously back to Japan, is it one more year?
Yeah, I've got one more season, Goody, at the moment, so I'm going to head back out there in August and get back out there and join back up with the NTT boys and see what next season has in store.
The king of Japan.
Nah, Japan's awesome, mate. I think I've had such a good laugh with my family, and even though we've had the restrictions and stuff, we've still been able to do a fair bit in Japan. So the people are so nice in Japan, respectful, and all that sort of stuff that goes with it. My kids are in international school, but they're bilingual, so getting a bit of the language. So yeah, it's just awesome.
They're better than you at Japanese.
Oh, they'll be better than me, mate. I sit in the Japanese lessons and goes in here and I try and catch it on the way back out that year, because the language is...
Do the kids enjoy it? Do they like it, yeah?
Mate, the kids love it. I think because, mate, the weather's so nice, like all this, even in winter it's cold, but it's like always just sunny, so the kids are just always outside, and mate, it's so safe. Like, yeah, you see like 4 or 5 year old kids just walking, they get on the bus, they get on the train, and I think for us, my kids are around about that age, it was a bit like, oh, we can't let the kids do that, but you know, they've already made little Japanese friends and they just all go to the park on their own, and it's an awesome place.
That makes it so much easier for you guys, I presume.
I mean, the kids are loving it.
I can't tell you how safe it is, honestly. I remember my mate, he lost his wallet a night out and he was panicking, and another guy was like, oh no, you'll get it back, and he's like, what do you mean I'm going to get back, I've got to cancel my cars, and he's like, no, just give it a day. Next day it was posted back to him, his wallet, cash, cards, everything. It's part of the course.
I heard another story as well. A friend of mine was backpacking over there years ago, and he wanted to get to such and such a place, and he asked this woman, and she was like, yeah, follow me. An hour and a half later they're still walking, and she puts him on the train like to where he wants to go, like an hour. She walked an hour and a half away. He's just like, this is an unbelievable country, like so friendly, so nice, do anything for you.
No, they're amazing in that regard. But I must recommend, if you like skiing, get up to Hokkaido up north. It's unbelievable. While my team weren't doing great and didn't play our best rugby out there, became very good at skiing, so I would recommend that.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the skiing's good, so I'll try and get up there in the winter when I get back before the season starts, and and go and see what it's all about. Apparently it's some of the best skiing in the world by all accounts. So.
Yeah, unbelievable. Okay, just before we leave then, just one final Lions chat about what training's going to be like this week, Shawnee. You know, how competitive will it be?
I think they'll have a very structured week, obviously. Like, today will be a recovery day because they played last night. Tomorrow will be a light enough day, probably. It'll be a double day, though, but it should be light. And then Tuesday, it'll be an intense day. Get up to speed with everything, get all the detail locked away for the weekend. Wednesday off, Thursday kind of the same as Tuesday, and then Friday back off then to the weekend, hopefully. But I think, like, hopefully you're not going to get any fitter this week, for instance, or, you know what I mean? It's about freshening up getting all the detail locked away, and then really like being so physical come the weekend and fresh and ready to rock against these boys, I think. So I think it'll be a relatively easy enough week training. It'll be more so getting their mind switched into what lies and what's awaiting for them at the weekend.
Yeah, I would imagine it'll be pretty light, or certainly the players will hope it's like, because as Shawnee mentioned, once you get to this point, you just want to, everything's about the game, you know, turn up feeling awesome. So it's all about sort of knowledge, get that knowledge in early in the week, what they're going to run in terms of the plays and set plays, all that sort of stuff. And it'll be interesting when he names the team to the players. I think probably the earlier the better. As you guys will know, I think, you know, once the team's sort of out there, everybody can, you know, if you're pissed off, you can sort of go away and digest it and then come back to the group. And if you're selected, obviously you start your planning. So the training week will be light, but everything's, you know, about the game in 80 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's always better to let people know early, because, you know, you said there's five guaranteed starters, you see them in the team and you're chucked in the bibs. So it's like, don't read anything into it, lads. Honestly, don't read into it. Well, it's funny there, because Alan Wynn, Marrow, all the lads are over there. But
I think he'll name the team this evening in camp.
This early?
Yeah, I think he will this week. I think either today or tonight or in the morning time, probably. Just to give lads that clarity and get lads switched in. I remember 2013 when he named the first test side. I was so upset not being in the squad. I was like 24th man as well, which made it way worse.
I remember the emotion
of it though as well. So lads are going to be, everyone wants to start a test game. So there's certain lads that are going to be upset about this. We've talked about, we can't even pick the team. You know what I mean? We're guessing on who's going to be in. So there's going to be quite a lot of that around the camp, and you want to get rid of that as quickly as possible. So that's why I think he'll either do it tonight or tomorrow morning, or and rock into the week with a good attitude and get everyone together and get everyone on the same page, knowing what they're going to try and achieve over these next 3 weeks.
And how much do you think they've held back, like plays wise, like especially the backs, you know, scrum, line out? Do you think there's a lot more in the locker, or do you think it's too hard to just put that all in 1 week?
Yeah, I think knowing Gregory, he'll definitely try and have a few things up his sleeve. I think probably more so off line out. I think scrum nowadays, I think the average scrums you attack over like four in a game if you're lucky, and the scrums have been quite messy to date anyway. So I think that in terms of the set scrum plays, are a little bit, you know, not out the window, but you don't get as many opportunities. So and knowing Gregory, he'll have a few variations of line outs and stuff that he'll want to nail to try and, you know, surprise the Springboks, and you may need something slightly different to, you know, score a try. So that'll be in the game plan this week. So again, it comes back to that naming the team early so the boys can nail their detail, and then, you know, once they nail the detail, they can just concentrate on playing well going into the weekend. And the earlier names that team, the better. And I think they've probably not had too many injuries, I don't think, from yesterday's game to deal with that, so I think that'll help naming the team, you know, early for the boys and just give everybody real clarity going forward.
And if there's one thing they need to work on this week or they'll focus on, what do you think it'll be, Shawnee?
Oh, I think it'll actually be their D this week. I think it'll be getting off the line and going to meet them. I think I'd say Tandy will have a rocket up them this week to actually bring it to another level. Test week, bring your D to another level. You know, if you defend well against these boys and get the ball back, the attack should look after itself.
Yeah, no, I'd probably agree with that. And I think that's why, for me, you know, Tom Curry has to be in the team as well, because he's such a good chop tackler. And, you know, South Africa, you talked about the latch and stuff earlier, they're going to come around the corner with big units, and sometimes they don't, you know, have a lot of fancy players, but they're coming route one. And if you can chop that and get rid of that early, don't go too high, I think that's a massive part. And you take that away and slow that down and force them to kick, I think it's a big part of the game, and definitely one that the Lions will be focusing on going into the test.
Well, that's all we have time for this week on House of Rugby, powered by Vodafone. Thank you for watching and listening. We'll be back on Friday morning to pick through the bones of Gatland's first squad to face the Springboks. Cheers, guys. Good to see you.
Thanks, lads.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the House of Rugby, powered by Vodafone.